about four or five teachings. Now, if you were not here on Thursday, I'm telling you what, I mean Wednesday, you need to go back there and you need to get one of those CDs, because we talked about in detail about the gift of praying in tongues. We didn't go so far in detail that it would, you know, freak people out, but we talked about it and how necessary it is. Somebody say amen. How necessary it is. I'm not talking about that today, but I just want to recap, because the devil has sold the body of Christ one of the most terrible lies ever. I'm going to say second to tradition. Tradition is the most terrible thing, religion and tradition, you know, that hinders the power of God. But the second greatest lie he has ever told, amen, and because of our ignorance, don't nobody get mad, ignorance means lacking knowledge. Because of our ignorance, we didn't do the research for ourselves, and we allow somebody to stand up there and speak on behalf of God and say misinformation, and it resulted in a powerless church. Now, the gift of praying in tongues, and I'm just recapping, the gift of praying in tongues is for everybody. If you read the book of Acts, the Bible said, have you received since you believed? So there are those that are believers that have not received yet. And the greatest lie that the enemy has ever told the church is that, oh, that's a gift. And it's always people who don't have that gift operating in them that fight against it and try to find scriptures to try to wage war and create a mindset to keep people powerless, because they themselves feel inadequate and powerless. Okay, now I'm telling you something here. Okay, I don't know how people survive without praying in tongues. And I'm not talking about praying in tongues today. I just want you to get the message. I'm recapping. Because there is such a grace, such a power that is released. Revelation is directly attached to the gift of praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 tells us mysteries and secrets. We pray mysteries and secrets unto God. No man understands, but we pray mysteries and secrets. So when you are praying in tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 down in verse 10 and down in verse 14, it talks about you edifying yourself and building yourself up. Amen. So I challenge you, get the CD. Amen. Listen to it for yourself at some time. Possibly on Wednesday, I'll probably bring it back out again. Write this down. There is a book out that you need to get also. It's called The Walk of Spirit and The Walk of Power by Pastor Dave Roberson. Pastor Dave Roberson. You can go online and check out Dave Roberson Ministries. Amen. And you can check that out for yourself. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm gonna do something. I want my beautiful wife to come on up here. Amen. Give her a hand clap, y'all. Can I get a couple ushers to help me out here? Where's my ushers at? I need a couple ushers to help me out here. I need two chairs from back there. Give me two metal chairs and bring them here. Amen. Ain't she beautiful, y'all? Amen. I need her to help me out. I need two metal ones. I'm a big boy. I cave that chair in, brother. Hey, that chair right there will be a pretzel when I'm done with it. Give me two metal ones. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, pastor, big boy. Amen. Don't let him lay them hands on you. Somebody say them claws. Lay them paws on you, them bear paws right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. There you go, babe. You sit right there. Amen. Somebody give her a hand clap again. Now, I'm going to start this off with this illustration right here because I think it's very necessary. You know what? I'm going to read both translations. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, the grace. Somebody say the grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to circle that word Christ, because I want you to clearly understand that word. In the Old Testament, it will be translated Messiah. Messiah means the anointed one and his anointing. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say the communion of the Holy Ghost. Now, the word communion is the Greek word koinonia, which literally means the partnership. Somebody say the partnership. There are other words like participation and fellowship, One translation says intimacy. You're going to hear it in a minute. But the best way to explain this word communion, it literally means partnership. Somebody say partnership. Now, it says the partnership of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The Message Bible said the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The intimate friendship. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and then I'm going to do this illustration with my wife. I am confident, and my spirit has, over the past 20 years of ministry and being involved in different ministries and stuff like that, you know, you see things, and you watch people, and you have times where you're up, and you have times where you're down. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen. You know, times where your relationship with God just seems to be on a high. When people see you, you got joy and it's just bubbling out of you. But then there are other times when people see you and you don't have joy at all. Amen. You're ready to cuss somebody out. Well, I know none of y'all ever felt like that before, but I have. And I'm a pastor. And I'll just be honest with you. Amen. You know, people make you want to knock them upside the head sometimes. But you got to learn how to be dominated and under the control of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes our relationship with God is up. Somebody say up. Sometimes it's down. Somebody say down, okay? But what I've noticed during my times of up and down is this right here, is that the most neglected person in the Godhead, here's the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, who is the Word of God, and God the Holy Spirit. The most neglected person in the Godhead is God the Holy Spirit. The most neglected. And my wife and I came up with an illustration to help you understand and comprehend what we're talking about, okay? Amen. Man, God is so good. He's just so wonderful. Ain't he good? Amen. He's always giving me revelation. Always talking to me. Amen. Is the Holy Ghost going to say something? That's you, baby. Amen.
Well, he talks about me, but he's never face to face with me. He never spends time with me.
You know, he's Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, he's the end, he's the first, he's the last, he's the comforter, he's the counselor.
We're supposed to be one, but we're not even face to face with one another. He doesn't really know me.
What we're trying to show you here, amen, my wife is being the Holy Ghost and I'm just being a Christian, amen. It's kind of like a relationship with a husband and a wife. We'll break it down with that, like a husband and wife. How would it look if I was just sitting here and all I would ever do was talk about my wife to you, but I never talk to my wife? Well, my wife looks good today. Did you see her shoes today? Doesn't her hair look nice? But she's crying out for intimacy. She wants time. I told you, Edwin Lewis Cole wrote a book called Communication, Sex, and Money. Those are the three things that destroy any relationship, any marriage. It should be marriage. Shouldn't be no sex except marriage. Amen. Communication, sex, and money. Those three things, they rob every marital relationship. But watch this right here. Those three things hinder your relationship with God also. We just don't want to have a monologue relationship with God. The Holy Spirit wants us to have a dialogue. Amen? Sometimes we spend more time talking than what? Than listening. Amen? That's all we need, babe. I was hoping we can get that across right there. Give her a hand clap. Give her a hand clap. Now, that way, as I go into the Word today, because I'm going to be pulling out some deep things, because y'all know, I like doing illustrations, but I'm a Bible teacher, so I'm going to pull out some deep things today to kind of help you. But just like that example right there, you can talk about a person, not really talking to that person. You can always make reference to them. Concerning God's Word, here's what I mean. You can get to the place where, like Bishop Oyedepo said, and I know I keep quoting him, but you can get to the place where you know the Word, but you don't know the God of the Word. You're so busy hearing the Word, but you're not hearing His voice. Somebody say amen to this. And see, that's a dangerous position because the Bible calls it having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. See, the power should change us first. And then after changing us, it should change the circumstances that are around us. But because we're control freaks, we always want to change everybody else. Amen. If you ever been married, you know what I'm talking about. I quit trying to change my wife. I can't change that woman. And she can't change me. Amen. And when you try to change people, all you do is frustrate yourself. Somebody say amen. You frustrate yourself when you try to change people. So anytime my wife is going through something and I think she wrong in it, and that's all the time. I'm just joking. Anytime, you know what I mean? I think that the Spirit of God always point me back to him. And he'll say, you change. You walk in love. You apologize first. I just stabbed somebody right in the back right there. Because some of us, sometimes we're so filled with pride, so filled with arrogance that we won't bow. We got to have the last word. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's dig into the word here, because I want you to understand what this intimacy that we have. The Message Bible said the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As I said, I am convinced that the most neglected person of the Godhead is God, the Holy Spirit. He's with us just like my wife was with me all the time. Everywhere we go, when we wake up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, when we're having dinner, when we're having lunch, when we're talking to friends on the phone, he's always there. The Bible says in John chapter 14, 15 and 16, he'll abide with us forever. 17, it says that. He's always with us. He'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. But yet, most of us live our whole life not even knowing him. You know, the word know is an intimate word. The Bible says that Adam knew his wife Eve, amen, and she bore a son. That means he intimately had an acquaintance with her. The more you and I begin to know the Holy Spirit, somebody say, know the Holy Spirit, the more we'll begin to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. The more we'll begin to bring forth the gifts of the Spirit. Because those things are in our spirit, but they have to be uncovered and revealed by the person of the Holy Spirit. So you got to learn how and learn, well, you got to first learn who he is. That he's not an it. He's a person. Amen. That can be grieved. The Bible tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit. He's a person where his presence can be quenched. The Bible says quench not the Spirit. The Bible says that he's a person that can be resisted. The book of Acts says that we always resist the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody say amen. See, with my wife, I just can't be in the same room with her and not talk to her because she's going to get frustrated. Are y'all catching what I'm trying to say today? You could be there, right there with God Almighty, having all the resources that you need to accomplish everything great in life and never communicate to one who gave it to you. Never talk to him. Let's look at the word here. The word partnership in the Webster's Dictionary means the state of being a partner, joint interest, a contract by which such an association is created. Tell your neighbor against your neighbor. We are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. Turn there. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. I tell you, I declare when you walk out of this place today, when you go home, you're going to be so aware of God's presence that is in you. And I didn't say live by your feelings. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a wonderful feeling when you become conscious and aware of his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, God is faithful. The Amplified says that he is reliable, trustworthy, therefore ever true to his promise. He can be depended on. Tell your neighbor, said, neighbor, the Lord can be depended on. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. He's ever true to his promise. That's what faithful means. It says, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. That's the same word there, koinonia. It means partnership. You were called unto the fellowship or the partnership of his son, Jesus Christ, or Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing. Now, I want you to get this in your spirit. Reach your hands out like this, and I want you to do like this, okay? That word called means to be summoned. You were summoned. You were summoned into partnership with God. You are not just a mere man. You are not just a mere woman. You are not just here by happenstance. You are not just here by chance. You've been summoned unto the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you have to know the hope of his calling. What God expects out of that summoning. Why did God pull you to himself? Why did God make you a co-laborer together with him? Why did God make you a partner? Come on, somebody say amen. You got to know this right here. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 says that God will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that we might know the hope to which we have been called, that we might know the inheritance of glory that's on the inside of us. The word know means to be intimately acquainted with, not just something that you heard the pastor say. You got to know this for yourself. You got to know that there is an inheritance of glory on the inside of you. What does the word glory mean? It's the Greek word doxa. It means the reputation and the appearance of God. God's reputation will begin to be uncovered in you when you know him. My God, you got to catch what I'm saying here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, read it for yourself. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Come on, somebody said it. Say, the Spirit of God dwells in you. See, he's in us when we're lying. He's in us when we're cheating. He's in us when we're talking about people. In us while we're gossiping. That's why the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, by which you have been sealed until the day of redemption. If you read the verses in Ephesians chapter 4, where he tells you not to grieve him, starting from 1 all the way down to 29 and verse 30, you'll find out he's talking about walking in brotherly love. So that means I grieve Holy Spirit when I talk about you. You grieve Holy Spirit when you talk about me, because we're one. You got to catch what I'm saying here. See, my method of my madness today is to teach you how to cooperate with the person of the Holy Spirit. Because you are a partner with him, we have to learn how to cooperate with him. That means every decision that you make, you should be checking in with the Holy Spirit. Every choice that you make, you should be checking in with the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, that's kind of weird to say, Holy Ghost, should I marry this one? Maybe if you asked the Holy Ghost first, they wouldn't be knocking you upside your head. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. And then we at the pastor's office crying because we didn't consult the Holy Spirit. I told you the Bible says in John chapter 14 that the Spirit of God is called the Comforter. Somebody say the Comforter. The word Comforter is translated 6 different ways: Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby. Somebody say Counselor. Come on, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby. These are the 6 functions that the Spirit of God operates in, and he operated in those functions with the New Testament church at the inception of the church. How was he able to do so many great things? We call the Bible or the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles, but really it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the apostles were submitted to the person of the Holy Spirit, who enabled them to do the acts that they've done. So really it's called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The closer we get to knowing who he is, the more intimately acquainted you and I get with knowing his person, the more accountable we are for his power. See, you just don't give no AK-47 to a 5-year-old. Hear what I'm saying here. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, behold, it says, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. The Greek word dunamis, that means explosive. Explosive power. But why are we experiencing that explosive power? Because you don't give an AK-47 to a 5-year-old. See, you got to mature in the faith. And the Spirit of God wants us to mature. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 8. I want to show you something. The Spirit of God wants us to mature in the faith. This is powerful right here. Because we got so many people trying to minimize the person and the personality of the Holy Spirit. And I read some scriptures that scared me. I'm going to be honest with you. I read some scriptures that scared me. Somebody say amen. You know, there's some scriptures in the Bible that will scare you. Do you know that 2 people dropped dead for lying to the Holy Ghost? Not the apostles. They lied in Acts chapter 5. They lied to the Holy Ghost. Read the scripture. I'm going to bring it up and show you over this teaching here. But they lied to the Holy Spirit and they dropped dead. Well, how come we're not seeing that kind of stuff happen now? Some people would say, oh, Pastor, that's the New Testament. No, that was the New Testament right there. This is why. It's because we can't be accountable for something that we don't know yet. But as we increase in the knowledge of him, see, Catherine Kuhlman was a powerful woman of God. She had increased in the knowledge of who the person of the Holy Spirit was to the point where when she would be in there, she would cry and tears would run down her face. And she would say, please don't grieve the Holy Ghost. She would say that. Now, why are we talking about this? Because aren't you guys tired of this old fluffy, systematic, fake church stuff? Come on, somebody say amen. Aren't you tired of that stuff with no power? You know what I mean? We shouting about it. Ain't nobody got the victory. You know what I mean? How can people be in the spirit-filled church for 25, 30 years and don't know God? That's the question I want to know. How can you be in the presence of God Almighty? That'd be like sitting around eating dinner with Obama and don't know who he is. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about know him. I ain't talking about, you know how we do. We get on Facebook and we quote a couple of scriptures, or we get on the phone and we talk to people and we tell people we know him. But I'm talking about really know him. I'm talking about know him to the point where Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm reading every message that I've read them before, but I'm reading them again now because the Spirit of God has directed me to. Every message he ever preached is compiled by Dr. Robert Leardon, and you can get that at Smith Wigglesworth book. But he said, there is a fellowship with God that will produce such a confidence and a fidelity that whatever comes at you, you will stand face to face with it. Why? Because you know God is with you. Well, why don't we stand face to face with the things that come against us? We just run right to the world and look for answers. Or we run to people and look for answers. Run to men and look for answers without standing face to face against the problem because we don't have no confidence. We don't have any fidelity. Why? Because confidence is built out of a consistent, personal, intimate, close relationship with the person that you're trusting. See, this is powerful right here. And I'm going to say something else right here. Trust is on both sides. Somebody say both sides. See, I heard Benny Hinn say this before. And I'm just quoting certain people because I know y'all know them. I heard Benny Hinn say this before. He walked into a restaurant. He was about to sit down and eat with a group of people. And as soon as he picked up his spoon, the Holy Ghost said to him, I want you to go spend time with me. And he dropped his spoon and he said, I got to leave. And he left and went and spent time with the Holy Ghost. How many people, if you were with your family members at dinner and the Spirit of God spoke to you and said, I want you to go spend time with me, would you leave? Because we're more conscious about pleasing man rather than pleasing God. It's quiet in here, ain't it, Pastor Sturgis? It's quiet. See, the book of Peter says that we have to take heed to yourself and to the flock in which the Holy Ghost has gave you charge over, and that you feed them. And see, I want to feed you what the Holy Ghost wants me to feed you. I can give you 7 steps to buying a new car. I can do that. That's not really going to help you. Because guess what? We got a lot of people that have a lot of stuff but don't know him. I'm not saying anything wrong with stuff, but they just don't know him. Amen. Man, it's quiet in here today. Holy Ghost, me and you will talk back and forth one to another. It's kind of quiet in here. Amen. The 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God will do this. This is the New Living Translation. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. He is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's going to get deep in here. I know I told you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Don't worry, I'm going back there. I'm going back there. That's the process, and I'm going to take you there, and we're going to end there. But I want to show you something. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Just hold your pinky thumb right there, whatever it is, right there in Romans chapter 8. Look at what it says here in verse 14. It said, and this is the what? The confidence that we have in him. That if we ask how many things? According to what? He does what? And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire. Now that's a flat out just bold scripture right there. He said that what we know that we have this confidence in him. Because God is faithful. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. He's dependent upon. Whatever he said he'll do, he will do it. But you have to remember, we are in partnership. Another word is covenant. And in any covenant, there has to be a part played on both sides. If I play my part, he plays his part. Are you catching what I'm saying? One of the smallest words in the Bible is the word if. It's a conditional word, if. But the Bible says when we ask something that's according to his word, not only does he hear us, but we know that we have the thing that we're asking for. So why is it that we ask for stuff and we don't have it? I'm going somewhere. I'm fishing somewhere. Now, how many people have ever asked God for something and you didn't get what you asked for? Don't nobody be religious, because most people, you know what I mean, been asking God for stuff for 20, 30 years and ain't seen it yet. How come we ask God for stuff and we don't get it, when the word tells us that we should have a confidence that produces the manifestation of that? It's the lack of our intimate relationship with him. Come on, somebody say amen. See, I can trust that anytime I bring you over my house, it's going to be clean. Because my wife progressively over 20 years have proven to me time and time again that she ain't going to let me leave my socks laying on the side of the bed. She ain't going to let me leave my coat hanging. Amen. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. If you ever been over my house, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Because Pastor Rosie, 6 o'clock in the morning, the first thing you hear is what? Somebody help me out. That's what you hear 6 o'clock in the morning, because she cleaning. She got a system how she operates. Amen. And guess what? I just confidently know that the house will always be clean. It don't matter if the president come over. Amen. It don't matter if you come over, grandmama and them come over. Guess what? I already know it's going to be clean. I'm confident that when we go to bed at night, there won't be any dishes in the sink. That's a revelation to somebody. Anyhow, amen. There won't be any dishes in the sink. Ain't gonna be no rings around the toilet, because she's proven to me. Amen. Now, my wife confidently knows that I'm gonna meditate the word. She confidently knows that I'm gonna provide for the house. Whatever has to happen, I'm gonna take care of the family. 20 years, we have progressively showed and built confidence with one another that this would happen. So I'm telling you this right here. The more you begin to develop that intimate relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, when you do that, what happens is that confidence is developed. Amen. Now let's look at the process. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at the process. Let's look at the process. Because a lot of times we'll read this scripture right here, and many of us will take it out of context. Romans chapter 8. I got to go into my other Bible because my page is torn. Romans chapter 8. Y'all learned something today? Amen. And I want to fly through this because I got about 5 scriptures I want to give you just to show you the Spirit of God's involvement. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 13. You ready? On the count of 3, somebody say, amen. 1, 2, 3. Amen. 1, 2, 3, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now let's read verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Now I want you to write this down. There's a little footnote right here. Because the book of Romans chapter 8 is one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible. Because it's talking about the walk of the flesh and the walk of the Spirit. It's talking about the process by which we go through to become the sons of God. Somebody say sons of God. And when we recognize that we are sons of God, amen, what happens is that the glory is released because of the recognition of sonship. But there is a process. So that means that you can have the potential to be a son and never come into being a son. You can have the potential to have God's glory operating in and through you, amen. And this is contrary to what most people teach. The glory ain't going to be revealed when you get to heaven. The glory is going to be revealed here. The glory is in the saints right now, in you right now. If God didn't want you to operate and manifest his glory, he would have waited till you got to heaven to put it in you. But the inheritance of glory is on the inside of every single person that accepts Jesus as Lord. The Bible says in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word hope means the expectation. So it's like a mathematical equation. He deposited Christ in you, watch this right here, so that he can get glory out of you. Christ in you, the expectation of glory. He deposited the anointed one in you so he can get glory out of you. So we got to see the process right here. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. The word led is the Greek word ago. the Greek word ago. Now, I want you to hold it right there because we're going to go back to another scripture and then come back to Romans 8. Go to Luke chapter 4. Let's see why it's hard to be led by the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 4. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, Jesus is my example. I'm telling you, I bless you right now. I decree right now, you're going to be so full of the Holy Ghost. You're going to be led by the Spirit of God, governed by the Spirit of God, under the control of the Spirit of God. You're going to be making business decisions that's going to produce millions of dollars. I decree it right now in Jesus' name. You got favor everywhere you go. People are always running you down. Goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. Why? Because you're going to get this principle right. See, it's one thing to confess it and confess it, but never follow these principles. What is a principle? A principle is a law that has a consequence that follows that law once it's implemented. It has a predictable outcome. That means if I operate the law of gravity and I jump off this building, pop, I'm going to hit the ground. That's the predictable outcome. That's the consequence of it. So if I operate these laws that I'm about to show you right here, there is a consequence for that. And remember, consequence doesn't always necessarily mean something bad. It can be something good. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1. I want you to read it so you can have it for yourself. On the count of three. One, two, three, read. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was by the Spirit. Now, why was Jesus led? Because he was full. Why was Jesus led? Because he was full. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you can't be led of the Holy Ghost. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, it's impossible to be. Well, Pastor, I've already been filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 says, be being filled. That means on a consistent basis. You get filled yesterday. Yesterday's filling ain't got nothing to do with today. If I go make me some Kool-Aid and fill a jug up today and you come on my house with your big mouth and drink all my Kool-Aid up, guess what? I got to fill my Kool-Aid jug up again tomorrow. Well, some of you need your Kool-Aid jug filled up. Somebody caught what I just said. Amen. If you're not full, you cannot be led. If you're not full, you cannot be led. If you're not full, you cannot be led. Well, guess what? Those that are led are sons. So if you're not led, then you're not a son. Well, I thought I was a son. No, you're a child. You're a child. To be led means to be governed by, under the control of, dominated by. It's the place where you lose sight of your own desires, your own self, your own delights. Well, Pastor, I thought Psalm 33 said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yes, it does. But when it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, what it means is that God knows this is set up. When you start spending time with him, you start spending time with him, all of a sudden his presence washes away your own ideas, because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. But when I get in God's face, I get his ideas, I get his wisdom, I get his anointing, I get his knowledge, and all of a sudden I start praying his ideas, his wisdom, his anointing, and his knowledge, and guess what? He give me my heart's desire. Why? Because my desire was his desire. Did you catch that right there? So if I want to be led, I have to be full. So the question is, how many believers truly are being led today? Whew, that's the Holy Ghost. I heard Jimmy Swagger say something today. I mean, last night, that almost took my shoes off and I didn't have them on. And you know, and I love Jimmy Swagger. You know what I mean? His son is all right, but I love Jimmy Swagger. Amen. Somebody say amen. Jimmy Swagger is a veteran. No matter what you think about him, he's a veteran. That man know the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you what he said there. He said, in 5 years, you won't even know who Earl Warren is. He said, matter of fact, is that his name, Earl Warren? He said, no, his name is Rick Warren. Now, somebody, don't get mad at me when I say this now. But our seeker-friendly churches have built an atmosphere whereby people can come and have church without knowing the God of the church. And see, that's scary right there. That's scary right there. And see, at some point, we have to build within a believer a mindset of knowing God, not knowing just the Bible, knowing the one who wrote the Bible. Well, if I know the word, I know God. Yeah, the Bible said in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word, everything was made by him, and not one thing that was made without him, nothing. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we know God is his word, but do you know what I'm telling you? There is a place of intimacy with God where you will know him. Well, he'll change you. Some people know 100 Bible scriptures and still cuss people out. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you something. See, The Bible said, whoever is born of God sinneth not, and the wicked one touches him not. That's what the Bible says in 1 John. See, that's the level we got to go to. We got to go to the place where, watch this, we got to go to the place where we know God so much that our reverence for him, somebody say reverence. Our reverence for him, there's a reverential fear that will cause you not to cuss people out. That will cause you not to be looking at the things you ought not look at. That'll cause you not to just talk in your way to somebody that's in authority. You know what I mean? You can tell reverence is missing nowadays. You know why reverence is missing? Because the person that infuses reverence is the Holy Ghost. You got to catch what I'm saying. Reverence is missing. Why? Because reverence is the side B to the coin called love. Wherever there's love, there is reverence. And Romans 5:5 said, the love of God is poured out in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Well, I could tell if you're operating in love if you have reverence. If you don't have reverence, you don't have love. Glory to God. Somebody better catch what I'm saying here. I'm waving my little invisible flag. So, in our intimacy with the Holy Ghost, he pours love in our heart. Reverence is that part of it. But you can tell it is not reverence because guess what? Kids talk to their parents in your kind of way. Parents treat their kids like they're their homeboys and homegirls. Somebody say amen. Whew. Is this tough, y'all? Come on, somebody shout unto Jesus. Is this tough? Don't we need this kind of teaching? Don't we need it? Amen. Praise God. You know why we need it? Because guess what? It's a dying world out there. And they don't know God. God could run down their street with a red hat and a blue t-shirt on to say God on it. They wouldn't know him. Amen. You and I are the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet. We are the body of Jesus. We exemplify the sum total of who he is. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:23 that we are the completion of Christ. We are the fullness of him that fills all and in all. That means if there's going to be any filling of God in this earth, it's going to be done through you and I. If you want to see God fill and overflow your job, he's going to come through you. If you want to see him fill and overflow your home, he's going to come through you. Well, how can you fill if you ain't full? So we found out here that a person cannot be led if they're not full. Is that cool? You cannot be led if you're not full. Why is it so important to be led? They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now let's go on down. Let's go on down. Somebody tell me the time because I want to make sure I'm conscious every time. I like that sister right there. What time is it? Okay, amen. Amen. Y'all can't tell me that because I'm telling you, I love teaching the word. I'll be here till 6 o'clock at night. Amen. We'll just tell y'all to go home, get some crock pots and make some chicken. As long as you make some chicken, I'm straight. Amen. Romans 8 again. Let's look at it. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received. Watch this. I'm going to paint this picture in your spirit real strong. You, I'm talking to you. You, every person in here, you have not received the spirit, watch this, of bondage again to fear. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When you are in a close, intimate, personal relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, bondage cannot hold you. Bondage to nothing or no one. I told you last Sunday, you too fat for that. Isaiah 10:27 says the purpose of the anointing is to remove burdens and destroy yokes. So when you begin to take his yoke upon you, which is the anointing, who is the anointing? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Holy Ghost is the anointing. So when the anointing is in you, bondage can't be on you. I'm just telling you right now, I don't care what kind of bondage it is, it cannot stay. Because wherever God is, when God arises, enemies have to leave. They have to scatter. I don't care what it is. I'm telling you, you're going to have 4 generations of devils that trace you. But when you get full of the Holy Ghost, can't no devil stop you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I prophesy to addictions. I curse them in Jesus' name. Habits that have been passed down for third and fourth generations, I decree right now every tentacle is broken right now by the blood of Jesus. Why? Because the anointed one and his anointing is on the inside of you. My God. You have not received the spirit of bondage. Say that one time. I've not received the spirit of bondage. Watch this. Whereby, no, it says again to fear. Matter of fact, I'm just going to hit that right there. 1 John 4:18 says that perfect love. If you can put that on the screen. 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out fear. What is perfect love? God is love. Love is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So when we have that intimacy with the Holy Ghost, that love just swells up. See, love is already in you, but do you know that love has height, love has depth, love has width, and love has length? The Bible said that we're filled with fullness based upon our intimacy and understanding and comprehending and apprehending with one another the love of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. I'm telling you, the more we spend time with the person of the Spirit of God, and this is funny right here. Notice how love is connected to the Holy Ghost. I know I'm going a few different places, but I'm throwing it out there. The Bible says that he would grant unto us according, Ephesians 3, grant unto us according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that the anointed one and his anointing may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we be rooted, grounded, the Amplified says established in the love of God. See, the reason why people ain't walking in that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love that never fails, love that never quits, love that never sees the wrong but always sees the right. The reason why people ain't walking in that is because it's infused in us by the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. So the more I spend intimacy with him, he begins to infuse me in my inner man. That's why Ephesians 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in the ischus of his kratos, in the power of his might. Strengthen with might. I'm trying to tell you something right here. There is a place in your relationship with the Spirit of God where every single limitation, every single roadblock, every single obstacle that is holding you down can't hold you no more. Because guess what? God is in you. There is a place. And it's time that we move up to the level of that place. Well, Pastor, what do we got to do? We got to be being filled, be being filled, be being filled, be being filled. I got to pray. I got to fast. I got to confess. I got to put the plate down. I got to love. You got to hear what I'm saying. You got to do something to cause that thing to increase in your life. Amen. Here we go. But you have received the spirit of what? Adoption. I know I'm jumping around. Y'all got to forgive me. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy, God. The word adoption don't mean that you some little redhead kid running around. It's a hard knock life for us. That's not what it means. The word adoption means the spirit that produces sonship. This is powerful. The Holy Ghost is the spirit that produces sonship. See, I know that language because I am a producer. I produce 7 national gospel rap recordings. And a producer's job is not to necessarily make the beats. A lot of time people think that's what his job is. A producer's job is to present a final product. That's his job. See, that was my job, to present to the distribution company in Nashville a final product. When I presented that product to them, they have me down as the executive producer. Well, the Holy Ghost is the executive producer. He produces sonship. I'm trying to tell you something. He's on the back of every album cover. You better hear what I'm saying here. His job is to take you from being a child in your mindset to move you to being an heir in your mindset. I'm going to show it to you. And then to move you to being a joint heir in your mindset. And then glory. I'm trying to tell you right here. He'll take you from being a child in your mindset. That's what most Christians are. I'm not being negative. I'm just trying to show you. If you can't identify where you are, you can't ever get to where you want to go. He's going to move you from a child in your mindset to an heir in your mindset to a joint heir in your mindset. And then the glory going to show up. why the glory ain't showing up? Because children can't produce glory. Sons produce glory. Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, it's so strong on me right now, I could throw this Bible up and eat it. Here we go. Watch this. Verse 16. Never forget these two verses. You ready? The Spirit, scratch out itself, because it should be translated himself. The Amplified Bible, I think it says himself. Beareth witness with what? Our spirit that we are what? Now notice there ain't a period at the end of that. Isn't that a semicolon? There's not a period after that. What is he trying to show you here? He's going to show you the process. He's bearing witness. This is his job. And it's a threefold bearing witness. Now, anybody in here know what it means to bear witness? What does it mean to bear witness, Sister Geraldine? To tell something that happened. To testify in agreement of. John testified that Jesus was the Son of God. The Bible said he bore witness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus said when the power of God comes on you, you will bear witness. Hear what I'm saying here. The Spirit of God, his bearing witness, he is testifying. His assignment from God the Father. Hear what I'm saying here. The Holy Ghost's assignment is to bear witness that you and I are children of God. And once we conceive that in our spirit, and most people, watch this, most people have a hard time with that. Because anytime you hear them say stuff like this, I'm a sinner saved by grace, they haven't come into the mindset of a child yet. Because you cannot be a sinner and a child simultaneously. You got to be either the one, a sinner. Listen, you're either born of God or you're not born of God. Once you cross the threshold of the blood of Jesus, you exist no more. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are no longer a sinner. Say that one time. I am not a sinner. I told you, Bishop T.D. Jakes said this right here. You may have done what they said you done, but you are not who they said you are. You don't even have the capacity to understand who you are. It's the Holy Ghost that teaches you who you are. That's why a person who don't have intimacy will never know who they are. That's why our threefold vision of this ministry is intimacy, identity, and destiny. Many people want destiny. They want their assignment. They want their husband. They want their wife. They want their car. They want their house. They want their money. They want this. They want that. And that's all they do. Like Gentiles sitting on church pews, running out. I got to be a real pastor. Sitting on church pews with the Bible in their hand, but not in their heart. Running around chasing everything the world chases. When Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, don't be like the Gentiles. They not in covenant with God. Every day they wake up, what I'm going to eat, where I'm going to wear, and where I'm going to live. Where I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, where I'm going to live. And most Christians come sit down in my office, what I'm going to eat, where I'm going to live, and what I'm going to wear. Amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's the mindset of a person who don't know they're a child yet. See, my daughters, they get on my nerves sometimes. I'm going to be honest with you. I got a 21-year-old. Her, my son now, my 15-year-old, they're all the same way. See, they don't ever think I have any kind of financial deficit. Whenever they think in their mind that they want something, hey, Dad, I'm like, girl, you married now. What's wrong with you? It's you. Like Vicky, she'll try, I don't know where she at right now, but she'll try to pull it on me probably after service. Hey, Dad, everybody going out to eat. Can we go out to eat? I'm like, no, I'm not going out to eat. You better eat a hot dog. Amen. Because children, they don't see the deficit. If you tell a child, listen, can I tell y'all a story? This is powerful. I'm going to finish, y'all. Y'all going to love me. I'm going to give it to you while you're here. If you never come back, you're going to get it today, baby. Aha. Listen to this right here. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. When I was a kid, my stepfather had a 69 Chevrolet, and it was like a round front with the one headlight with the hard top. It was nice. And he had that car, and my grandmother, my shirt tail grandmother, because she wasn't my real grandma, she had a long driveway about a half a mile long, and it was a bunch of rocks and bumps, and you know, you driving the car on it, and you get like that, but then you get up to the hill. That's where they said, where y'all going? We going up on the hill. Everybody knew what the hill was. You didn't have to say the address or who occupied the land. Everybody knew what the hill was. Because they the only ones had the hill. So we going up on the hill. Somebody said we going up on the hill. So we in that, I'm showing you about children. We in that car, and we all little kids, you know what I mean? And then we get to the bottom of that hill, and he said, okay, y'all want me to push it? He had a button there. He said, y'all want me to push it? All I got to do is push it, and we going to fly. We're like, Dad, push the button. Dad, push the button. Come on, Dad, push it. He like, I'm going to push it. I'm going to push it. Ah, too late now. I can't push it. So it happened about, I don't know, a couple years before we figured out that he was just messing with us. But do you know what? Because I had the mindset of a child, I believe what he said was true. Why you think Jesus said you got to be like a little child to come into the kingdom? You got to catch what I'm saying here. There's some powerful stuff right here. See, I believed that when he pushed that button one day, the car was going to start flying until I got older. Amen. Here we go. He said he bears witness that we are children. Somebody say children. He said, and if children, conditional word, if. And if children, then what? Heirs. An heir, the word heir means an inheritor. But heir and joint heir are not the same word. The word joint heir means a joint inheritor, a sharer in common. One translation says a partner in possessions. I'm trying to show you something right here. Here's the process. The Holy Spirit in you. The expectation of God in you is glory. Somebody say glory. Every person in this room, I don't care where you came from. You could have came straight from the crack house. You could have came straight from the prostitution house. You could have came, listen, you could have came straight from wherever you came from. You could have a good life. You could have a bad life. When you get born again, there is a heavenly employment, a heavenly assignment deposited on the inside of you. When the person of Christ, the anointed one, gets on the inside of you, the purpose of him being in you is to produce glory. Somebody say glory. I told you what glory is. Old Testament is wealth, heaviness, weight, valor. Hear what I'm saying? In the New Testament is reputation, its appearance. Those words are so powerful. When God's reputation shows up, when his reputation shows up, his reputation is he is a healer. Sickness has to leave. That's the glory of God. His reputation is he is Jehovah Yireh. He's the provider. Poverty has to go. Doesn't matter if you got jobs in Adrian or not. Poverty has to go. I don't care if we got to speak to a loaf of bread and feed everybody in the city. When the glory show up, poverty got to go. God's, listen, my God. God's ability to provide is not based upon the world system ability to give him the ability to provide. We operate in a whole nother system. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So the Spirit of God on the inside of us wants to show us that we're children. And then when he shows us that we're children, then he'll show us that we're heirs. And then as he begins to bear witness that we're heirs, he'll bear witness that we are joint heirs. Now watch this last scripture right here. 17 and 18. If children, then heirs of God. If heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we what? This word suffer means to suffer together with. Now I'm going to tell you something right here. The suffering he's talking about ain't suffering poverty. It's not suffering sickness. Some people, well, the Lord put cancer on my body and I'm suffering for the Lord. No, that's not the suffering he's talking about. If you read the whole chapter, Romans chapter 8, he's talking about suffering in the physical body, dying to self. The enemy of kingdom effectiveness is selfishness. The Spirit of God is moving us from the stage of carnality into spirituality. Is this kind of tough, y'all? Now watch this. The next scripture says this right here. It says, I reckon. The word reckon is an accounting term. It means after I sat down and I added everything up and I did my monopolizing or whatever it is, I summed it all up. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why? The earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God to be revealed. Did you catch that? Here's what I want to point out today. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that produces sonship. Somebody say sonship. I know I'm messing my words up. I'm talking in tongues and preaching at the same time. I'm tripping, y'all. Somebody say sonship. The Spirit of God wants to be so intimately acquainted with you that daily he walks you through the process. Watch this. This is what it means to be led by the Spirit. You know, it don't mean that, you know, I'm going to wake up today and the Holy Spirit, you know, tell me turn left, turn right, put a blue shirt on, put blue pants on. He don't care what kind of clothes you put on. I mean, he do. I mean, they'll be walking out showing stuff, you know what I mean? But what, I'm just trying to point something out to you. The leading is in the inner man. He wants to lead you from carnality into spirituality. So he's going to lead you. That's the suffering right there. You're going to suffer together with him. You're going to be led from cussing people out, getting mad all the time, come on, short temper, come on, cheating and lying and stuff. He's going to lead you right out of that, right over into sonship, where you can operate in the glory. Come on, somebody get a load of hand clap. Amen. I'm finished, but I'm telling you, why you can stand up. Why is this important? This is so important because guess what? The whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to be revealed. Sons. Somebody say sons. Sons. So you got to allow the Holy Spirit to take you through the process. That's being led by the Spirit. So the next time somebody say, are you led by the Spirit? You think, okay, yeah, am I allowing him to lead me out of this bad attitude? Am I allowing him to lead me? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. To lead me. Now, I'm going to tell you something powerful. You can never lead if you first have not, you can never lead if you're not led first. That's the whole thing. So many people want to lead, but they ain't never been led. Amen. It's like my daughter, she want to get up and teach. I'm like, girl, you don't need to be teaching nobody. You better learn first. Amen. Just stay rambunctious, you know what I mean? Amen. Don't mean we can't learn from kids, but it's important because, listen, we're growing a mature church. Hebrews 6 tells us we need to move past the elementary doctrines of Christ and move on into the word of righteousness. See, we done saved the word of righteousness for heaven. Amen. Did y'all learn something today? I'm telling you right now, listen, I'm praying that this word will empower you. What's going to happen? You know what? Where's that at again? Listen, I just got to show you something. This is powerful right here. This is powerful right here. Everybody know how much Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit. I'm just, 1 minute. Is that fine? Luke chapter 18, 4 verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. We know Jesus had to depend on the person of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Acts 10 and 30, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Acts chapter 1 verse 2 says, until the day in which he was taken up, Jesus, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments. Jesus gave commandments through the person of the Holy Ghost. Acts 9 and 31, then had the churches rest, somebody say rest, throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they multiplied. Well, what was the comfort they walked in? They allowed him to be their counselor, their helper, their intercessor, their advocate, their strengthener, their standby. They weren't just popping up out the bed making decisions. Because you done read the last book by some author who don't even know God. We got to be careful. The Bible said, listen, the Bible said, empowered to prosper is the one that does not walk in ungodly counsel. We got to be careful, you know, just because Donald Trump is rich don't mean you should listen to him. Because he got some demonic influences helping him. Amen. Look at this one right here. Acts 13 and 2. Look at the intimacy they had with the Holy Spirit. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Did you see that right there? They ministered, they fasted, and the Holy Ghost spoke. The Holy Spirit speaks all the time. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, he that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That means you can not have an ear to hear. You got to develop your hearing. How do you develop your hearing, Pastor? Through intimacy. Every day. Somebody say every day. I'm not trying to beat nobody up. I'm just trying to be a good coach. Every day, get on your knees and pray. This ain't just for the pastor. Every day, cry out for the Lord. Cry out. Cry out. Do you know that we can enter into that place so much with God that guess what? Even the authorities of this city will fear the church. I'm telling you, they'll fear the church. But the reason why people just make all kind of laws and don't fear the church, because we've been powerless for too long. Our businesses are powerless. We're afraid to talk about God in our businesses. We're afraid. Come on, somebody say amen. We're afraid to go to our jobs and live a holy life, but everybody can wear t-shirts about, you know, get naked and have a threesome. And everybody cool with that. But if I put John 3:16 on my t-shirt, now they want to take me, you know what I'm saying, and down to the office. I told you last week, we need some bold Christians. We need some people that will live their life out loud with God. Look at this one right here, Acts 13:4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. The Spirit of God sent them out. I'm ending right here. Every single part of your life, every single part of my life, hear what I'm saying, has to come up under the rule of the person of the Holy Spirit. Every part. Guarantee you, when we develop an ear to hear, we're not going to make the wrong choices we're making. Amen. You know what? I wanted to go to the bank to get money for the church. And every time I heard a man of God, they was like, no. Don't borrow money from the bank. Every single time. And you know what? It's helping my faith, because I know some of y'all are a little bit cold right now because we still getting the pipes downstairs fixed. Amen. But I believe we got enough wealth right in here. When people start listening to the Holy Spirit, we got enough wealth right in here to take care of everything we need in this church. Amen. Because what the devil wants us to do is get bound to that world system. Somebody say amen. That's why people bound. You know what I mean? We got houses that won't sell nowadays. Come on, somebody say amen. We got houses that won't sell. We buy cars. They depreciate after two weeks after you leave the lot. They depreciate $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. And then guess what? Now you're in debt to somebody. Now your whole life is spent. Instead of being intimate with God, you're like, Pastor, you got to understand. I got to go to work. No, I don't understand. I don't understand at all. What is more important than spending time with God? Amen. Amen. Let's just raise our hands right now. Father, we thank you.